Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Exciting weeks of the year for me. I mean, watching the Super Bowl, for the past, 15 years, it's always a great Sunday, even though my team's only been in it one time in my lifetime, the Bears. I mean, the Super Bowl is an awesome week. I mean, you get together with all your friends, you have a great time. It's a great time in the day, 5:30. I think everything about it is awesome, and I love watching the game, all the prop bets, all the the glamour around it. It's the most watched sporting event in the entire world, and there's really nothing not to love.
Yeah, no, it's a great event, and the prop bets are fun, of course. From our perspective, we don't play them because they're way against you on the odds, and of course the sporting edge is about statistical edge and not about trying just to gamble. But who's going to win the coin flip?
I don't know. I'll go with the Broncos.
Okay, go with the Broncos. All right. So my team didn't make it there. I predicted them on Varney in August that it would be Denver in the Super Bowl, and here we are. We'll save our selection for later. I got a few other things to go over, and I guess one of the sad notes, unfortunately, at the cover of the week is Kenny Stabler passed away, the snake, and they found CTE in his brain from when he passed away. Are you a big believer in the CTE, or do you think it's just more of a story? I mean, I know the doctor and I know the story. We saw the movie, but is this in everybody's brain and they don't do the autopsy, or is it predominantly two concussions in football? What do you think?
I don't know if they. I know they don't do this for everybody, but I've got to think. I do believe in it. I mean, I think it's scientifically proven, and we saw from that movie that you play sports so violent, so physical that involves so many collisions in your head. I mean, stuff happens, and it doesn't surprise me at all if they found it in Ken Stabler's brain. I wonder how much, if there's any aspect of it in a normal person's brain who really has never played football. I don't really know, but I got to think that they didn't just. I mean, this doctor who the movie was based off of, didn't just. Make this up.
I understand.
I think it's a serious thing.
Go ahead. No, I understand. No, look, I know the NFL tried to cover it up. So, I'm just wondering, look, we know that there's been a bunch of these guys. And, of course, we also know that if you have a concussion once, getting the next one is much easier. Your brain is kind of suspended in animation in your head. So I was just curious if, if you thought it was in everybody's brain and more prevalent in football players. I mean, listen, we all know that it's a serious sport. And unless they do something, soon, there's going to be problems because these guys are just getting too big and too fast. And these explosions to the head are just too big. I don't know what else to say about it. I was just curious about your opinion there, but, and I thought something interesting this week. Robert Irsay, the owner of the Colts, wants Peyton Manning to retire as an Indianapolis Colt. Okay, what do you think of that?
I don't know. I've never been a big fan of Irsay. I thought he's always been in the news a little bit too much for my liking. Kind of has a big mouth. I think it'd be cool if he retired as a Colt, because I think of Peyton Manning in his heyday. I know he had probably his best season ever, I think, a couple of years ago with the Broncos, but I think of him as a Colt. But you know, I think that should be up to him, you know, whether, you know, he wants to retire as a Bronco or a Colt. But I don't know. I think Irsay should stay out of the media, keep his mouth shut, and stick to, you know, being the owner of the team.
I think Irsay's an asshole, and he should keep his mouth shut, and Peyton Manning should do whatever he wants. And, of course, he'll probably retire as a Colt because he did spend, obviously, most of his career there. And it'll always be a Colt, but Irsay's a jackass, and you know, I was just curious what your opinion is. Now, I think a story that's fairly interesting and that's been on the wires, and Rodney Harrison, the former Charger and former New England Patriot, and they asked him how he would stop Cam Newton. He said he'd injure him. Okay, and I mean, that's a legitimate interview, and he says when we played, you know, it was easier to take shots and do things like that. You know, for a guy who's in the media, I think he works for NBC, right, on the Sunday night broadcast. I think that's a pretty dumb thing to say. What do you think?
You know what? It might be a dumb thing to say, but, I mean, I don't think you can fault the guy for, you know, speaking his mind and speaking the truth. I mean, obviously there's a lot of things that go on in NFL locker rooms and within teams that a lot of people don't know about. And, you know, sometimes if that's the best strategy, I mean, and I know I don't advocate for hurting anybody, but I mean, you know, if that's the guy honestly thinks, you know, I can't really go against what he says. I mean, you know, I think he's almost complimenting Cam Newton there by saying how good he is. I don't know if he's going about it the best way, but I don't really think he means any, you know, harm in the sense of hurting him. But you know, the NFL is a dirty game. We saw it come out a couple years ago with Greg Williams. And the Bounty Gate scandal, I mean, I'm sure there's much more going on that we don't know about. But, I mean, you know, I don't think you can fault Rodney Harrison for speaking his mind, even if it comes off as very brash and very unbecoming.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you got to be very careful. I think especially if you're in the media, you've got to be careful what you say. I mean, guys may think that, but we know what happened with Bounty Gate, and the guys get suspended for a year. The coaches get suspended for a year. One guy gets kicked out of the league. And, you know, players get, I mean, you know, again, I don't even know if you can say that. You might think that, but, you know, I mean, it is a brotherhood, and at the end of the day, you guys are all playing the same game, and you're playing for money. And, you know, I wrote a blog about, you know, the Super Bowl and the money, and, I mean, there is no loser in this game. I mean, from the advertisers to the losing team, everybody's getting paid off for being in this game, and it's football has become such a giant industry. I mean, look at all the money. I mean, you know, Ralph Wilson bought the Buffalo Bills in the AFL, in 1959 for $25,000. They just sold for over $1 billion. Okay. So, I mean, I think you gotta be, you know, a little bit smarter about it. And, you know, again, it's the game is money. I mean, let's face it. It's changed from if it ever was for the love of the game, it's now for the love of the cash, because you see the way these guys go after contracts. And of course, the business of the owners is just phenomenal. And of course, football players have the worst contracts of any major sport, which is amazing. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's really sad, because I feel like football is probably the biggest sport in America money-wise. And the players, I think, get treated the worst out of any sports. I mean, you look at the lack of the guaranteed contracts. You know, you look at the average career length of an NFL player, I believe it's pretty short compared to, you know, all the other major sports. And then you look at what they have to deal with after their careers. I mean, I'd say, you know, obviously all pro athletes in all sports, you know, things happen to them, you know, from what they did in their playing days. But I think football definitely takes the cake when it comes to that, you know, with how physical the game is. I mean, we're starting to see it more and more now with the media being more prevalent in society, with these new findings of what's going on in these people's brains. But I think they definitely have it the worst. And, you know, I'd hope that sometime in the near future, something is going to change that, you know, would help these guys out a little more.
No, I agree. I mean, they just don't have guaranteed contracts. And, you know, of course, football, the lowest expectation of longevity in any sport. So, I mean, listen, it's a violent game, and the good players get paid a ton. But unfortunately, in football, like any other sport, you need a lot more journeymen to really carry the load. This is the Sporting Edge on Super Bowl weekend with Bubba and Xander. We don't have any fancy commercials like the Super Bowl, but you got us. So here we are, the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. If you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm, I'll get it to you. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
play soft and low. Yet all the night's magic.
Welcome back to This Morning Edge with Bubba and Xander. So, Xander, when we look around and, you know, a couple other stories, and of course, we've kind of talked at this ad nauseum, but interesting what's going on. And that's our good old pal, Johnny Manziel, once again in the news for hitting his girlfriend, for beating her all the way from, I guess, Dallas, or wherever he was in the car, was slapping around a little bit. First of all, ignorant. Second of all, it looks like he's getting cut from the Browns. We know that, right? That's just, they have to wait for the legality. I think it's March, whatever the date in March is. What do you think of that, first of all?
I don't know. I mean, it's just like, this situation keeps getting worse every week. And I thought it would eventually come to a stop. I thought, you know, maybe he'd realize at one point that, you know, what am I doing with my life? I'm throwing away a really good thing that I could possibly have here. But I don't know. It just hasn't happened. And I think, not even thinking about the NFL anymore, I guess just thinking about Johnny Manziel as a person, I think he definitely needs some help. I don't know in what scene, you know, I get rehab, you know, he's been to rehab before, and it doesn't look like that helped him very much. It looks like he needs something, and we saw that, you know, I've been watching SportsCenter a little bit the past couple days, and his dad came out and even said that, you know, he worries that, you know, he won't make it till his next birthday the way that he's living right now, and that really says something. You know, to broadcast your life on, you know, such a big media stage, I mean, things are going very wrong for Johnny Manziel right now. And I think, you know, this thing with his girlfriend is true. I mean, eventually, you know, probably should end up in jail. You know, and I think in the meantime, he needs to really take a look in the mirror and try to figure his life out a little bit. I mean, he seems like the kind of guy who thinks he's invincible and that everything would eventually work out for him. But seeing very quickly that, you know, he might have blown, this past week, he might have blown his last chance ever to get back in the NFL. I mean, I know there was talk about the Cowboys possibly picking him up, putting him under Tony Romo for a little bit. But I think that's out of the question now. I mean, I think he needs to take a step back and get some help. I mean, that's basically my whole thing. He needs to get help and change the way that he's living. Or else, you know, like his dad said, you know, he might not make it very long.
Well, the point is here is that Michael Irvin is working out with him. Getting him ready for the Cowboys. And of course, poor old Jason Garrett going to get another piece of crap dumped on him because of the king of football, Jerry Jones. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, look, you know, guys need help. And why do some guys keep getting chances? And I think Bomani Jones said it best. If he was just an average backup quarterback, they'd have thrown him out of the league already. But because either still living off his dreams from Texas A&M, they keep giving him chance after chance. You don't remember this, but Steve Howell was a guy like this. He was a drug problem, but he was a guy like this in baseball that was so good that they kept giving him chance after chance. I think they got to cut a lemon. I think they got to make a clear rule about this. What do you think?
What do you mean a clear rule in terms of what?
Well, I mean, you know, a guy has an offense. I mean, he does, you know, any of the I mean, he's got any number of offenses that he's done that have broken league rules and team rules, but yet he's still in the league. I mean, you know, Ray Rice didn't do any much worse than Johnny Manziel, and he's out because he couldn't play anymore. You know, I mean, I just don't like the system. There's too much. There's too much decision, or there's too much arbitrary decision by the people that be. And I don't. I think that the kid should be suspended. Minimum for a year for all the things he's done.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think once this thing with the assault gets a little further on, I think we'll get a little better picture of what happened. And that does not look very good, along with all the things that he did this past year, you know, skipping the regular season finale with the disguise and, you know, the videos and all that. You know, I don't know if there should necessarily be a rule. I mean, I think it's up to any given team to pick up whoever they want. I mean, I understand, you know, policies by the NFL, you know, suspending people, you know, for abuse, assault, you know, whatever it might be. And I do agree there should be rules for that. But, I mean, if the guy was mostly breaking team rules, so eventually if he gets cut, I mean, if another team thinks that he's going to provide some value to their team, I think he should be able to get picked up. But, yeah, I think a league suspension is definitely coming. At the end of this case, I don't know how long, but I mean, we're just getting started with this whole thing, and it's the worst possible way. So I mean, we're going to find out in the next couple weeks what direction Johnny Manziel is definitely heading in.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know what? I mean, I thought the kid might grow up, but it doesn't look like he's ever going to grow up. And then another thing that kind of bothers me is, I don't know if you're familiar with the Rooney Rule, okay, where they have to interview so many African Americans for every head coaching vacancy. Okay, and now they're gonna try to imply the Rooney Rule or apply the Rooney Rule for women now to get big jobs in the NFL. What's your thought? What is your thought of regulating employers to who they have to hire?
I really don't like it that much, it's almost weird to talk about because if I say that I don't like it, it almost comes off as I'm anti-women or anti-race, and I really don't see it that way. I just think that's more the way that our country's trending in, more equality for jobs and things like that. But I don't know, as an employer in the NFL, I think you should be able to hire who you think is best fit and interview who you think is best fit for the job. I mean, I don't really have much more to say about it than that. I mean, it's just when you make people do things like that, I don't know, it kind of rubs me the wrong way.
I mean, look, I'm not against women. I think anybody who's qualified to get a job, I don't care. I mean, but I think in our world, it's time for a free market, free society. Hire who you want. I mean, it doesn't matter who you hire. I mean, whatever, it's the same as any other economic curve. I mean, supply and demand, whoever you want to hire, hire them. I mean, I don't like all the old white guys I hire either. You know what I mean? I mean, all the retreads. I'd like to see some new blood in there. I mean, but hey. Just a thought. Now, Drew Brees is up for an extension. You think he gets it, or is this the end of Drew Brees with the New Orleans Saints?
You know what? I don't think he gets it, not because of his play, but I think the Saints need to go in a different direction. We saw that this year that the whole thing really didn't work out. I mean, Drew Brees played pretty well, not as well as he usually does, but I mean, this team, I think, needs a little rebuild, and with the Panthers in that division, I mean, they're really going to need to stock up and get some draft picks. They're going to need to take a few years, I think, and kind of rebuild their team, because I think they had their run a few years ago with Sean Payton, and never really got back to form after that Super Bowl win. So I don't think they signed Drew Brees to an extension. I think it'd just be too costly in terms of what they're going to try to do as a team over the next couple of years. I definitely think Drew Brees gets picked up by somebody or signed by somebody. I don't really know who, but I don't think they re-sign him.
I don't either. I know, and he will. He'll 100% get picked up by somebody who could be. Just, I mean, he gets picked up by the New York Jets. I mean, they're basically a quarterback away. They were almost there to begin with, but for somebody who's right there and ready, he'd be a great guy to pick up. I mean, listen, he's a great player. He's a little older, and of course you slow down a little bit, and but at the end of the day, I mean, certainly I'd take a chance with him if I was a team that was on the cusp of getting there, and I was a quarterback away, in my opinion. I'd certainly pick up a Drew Brees. I think he's still got a year or two left in him. I just don't think he's going to get a big money contract from anybody because it doesn't make sense. And certainly, if you're the New Orleans Saints, unless you want to pay him back for all the goodwill he did during Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, I mean, I think a team that sounds perfectly suited for that is the Texans. For me, we saw what Brian Hoyer did in that playoff game, and they constantly had a different quarterback all the time last year. They ended up starting four different quarterbacks, due to injuries and whatnot. So that seems like a team that may be on the cusp with guys like J.J. Watt, anchoring that defense. I mean, that's a team that, you could say with a pretty good quarterback could possibly make a run next year. So that's a team I would look for.
I agree. I mean, and that could be a great solution. I didn't even think about them, but that could be a great solution. I mean, they are... because they are right there, and they could be the next guy, the next team to get there. I could certainly, and he could certainly help them. I mean, it would have been a nice boom for them to get somebody like him and play, because certainly that team is right there as well, and they're in a pretty soft division now. I mean, even when Luck comes back, I mean, there is not a lot of talent in that division yet. We'll see how it plays out, but certainly a guy like Brees could help them. This is the Sporting Edge here on Super Bowl weekend. We're going to come up with some more info on the Super Bowl later, but for now, we're going to step out for a break. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. If you ever miss a show, miss an episode, get us at libertytalk.fm on demand. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
So, Xander, you know, as we switch off until we come back in the final segment and talk about the Super Bowl, you know, I was looking at the NBA, and I was looking at Blake Griffin. Now, there's another putz. I mean, why would you punch a coach or an athletic trainer? I mean, you're out for the year, you hurt your team, and it's just silly. I mean, you know, what do you think about that? What do you think about what's going on in the NBA, and what are some of the other things you're seeing there?
Yeah, well, I mean, that whole situation I thought was pretty terrible. I mean, I read up a lot about it, because Blake Griffin always came off to me as a very solid guy, you know, good guy that you wanted to have on your team. But, you know, after reading a little bit more about him, it seems like, you know, he's kind of always searching for an identity. And I don't know, this really rubbed me the wrong way, this whole situation, because it really, you know, lowered my opinion of Blake Griffin. You know, after he's already injured and he's about to come back and breaks his hand, punching a trainer. I mean, I don't really care who it was or what happened. Like, the fact that you'd use your body in a way that, you know, you're in a business of, you know, playing basketball. That's what, you know, they pay you for. You're injured, you're trying to get healthy, and then something that stupid happens. I thought it was ridiculous. But, you know, we talked about that a little last week. So let's move on to something that has also been a topic of this show. You know, people have given Adam Silver, the commissioner in the NBA, a lot of flack about looking at the rules for the hack-a-player tactic. You know, my thoughts on this is, you know, coaches are going to do anything that they need to do to win. And, you know, maybe it's not as exciting for the fans, but, I mean, I think this is something that the NBA really needs to look at, because it's really slowing the pace of play down. And you got guys like Andre Drummond and DeAndre Jordan shooting, you know, under 40% from the free throw line. I mean, of course they're going to foul them. I mean, I saw Andre Drummond get fouled 5 times in, I think, 10 seconds the other day, you know, just to see him shoot free throws, because they know that he can't make them. So I think it's a good idea for the league to revisit this and possibly find a way, you know, to speed up the pace of play. What do you think?
Well, I think the pace of play sucks. That is one of the problems, and that's a lot of that has to do with TV as well, and too many timeouts. So I was listening to somebody the other day. They had too many damn timeouts in the NBA. I mean, they don't need that many timeouts, and the game drags on and on with this. You know, one of the things that really bothers me, Xander, is all the sports have become a little bit soft. You know, the contact sports and the rules and the fouls, and it's still, you know, superstar versus not superstar, and it kind of bothers me just the whole way it happens. So yeah, I agree with you. I'd love to see him change something, but at the end of the day, you got to learn how to shoot free throws, right? I mean, if you can learn how to shoot a free throw, then you wouldn't have any problems, right?
Right. I mean, and that's where the disparity comes in between, you know, watching the game as a fan and being a coach. Because I'm sure a guy like Greg Popovich, you think he really cares, you know, what the fans think about his team? Like, no, he wants to win a championship. So, you know, moving on to a little other basketball news, Steve Kerr recently came out and says that the Steph Curry hype is getting to an MJ-like level. What are your thoughts about that?
You know, I mean, they're making a lot out of Steph Curry. And listen, he's great. I mean, for today's game, he's great. Okay. Now, we both know that Charles Barkley said it, and he was telling it right. I mean, I'm not saying that Seth Curry would not have been great back in those days. Okay. I'm by no means saying that at all. However, the rules were different, and I don't know that he gets off all those easy, soft jumpers that he gets off now. I mean, so is he a great player? Yes. Is he in MJ's category? Not in my lifetime.
Right. And just, you know, as a guy, you know, were you in your about your mid-30s when MJ was in his prime, you know, what was that like being a Bulls fan and you know, having MJ as a huge part of Chicago in the 90s?
I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was funny because I used to sit on the floor and floor seats there because a few of my buddies, we had a whole group of us used to go and sit. And we used to sit and talk to MJ because that's when you, if you know where you used to sit at the end of the bench, that's right where we were sitting. In fact, so we had a lot of fun. And I mean, he was unbelievable. He is the most driven, competitive guy I know. And I've seen him on the golf course a couple of times and talked to him a couple of times. And one thing about him, if you want to play golf with him, he'll play with anybody for any amount of money. But his rule is you got to play 54 holes if you want to play. True story.
Yeah, that's funny. Did you ever ask him which side he was taking when you're sitting floor seat next to him?
You know what? I'll tell you something. He would be a never guy that would ever throw anything. I mean, he is, again, he's got that extra special gene of really tough competition and spits nails, man. I mean, you've seen him sick and running and doing his thing. I mean, there's nobody like him. And Steph Curry couldn't carry his jock strip. I'm not quite so sure. You know, keep saying a little bit how good LeBron is. I don't know that LeBron could carry Michael Jordan's jock strip, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, MJ, I wish I was born 10 years earlier so I could have seen, you know, more of what that was like. But, you know, let's talk a little college football. Alabama, for the sixth straight year, takes the number one class. Following up at the top five, you got Florida State, LSU, Ohio State, and Michigan. And a huge sign for Michigan getting the number one overall guy, defensive tackle, 6'5", 300 pounds, runs a 4.7 40. You know, it looks like Harbaugh is really turning this program around quick, and I think it's going to be an exciting next year in college football. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's going to be great. I mean, Florida State picked up, Michigan, Ohio State picked up another big class. Look, we all said all along, Yahoo was somebody to be reckoned. I mean, Yahoo. Jim Harbaugh is somebody to be reckoned with. I mean, he did it at Stanford. I mean, if you can win, Jim Harbaugh, in my opinion, is personally responsible for turning that entire Stanford program around. And, you know, David Shaw is there now, but I think Jim Harbaugh, I think he's a great coach. I think he was a great coach in the NFL. I think the problem in the NFL is the players just didn't like him enough because he's just a little bit too much of a disciplinarian. And, you know, when you're making all that money, you know, who wins out? The money always wins out. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, and I think that's why the college game, he did a lot of great things with the 49ers. I think he is better in the college game, you know, pretty much for that reason. So Texas, we talked about Charlie Strong, I think, a couple months ago, you know, about how, you know, he came there, has not done very well, and they made a big push. The last day of signing day, Texas, the class ranked at 25, jumped all the way up to number 11. What are you expecting of the Texas football program this year? Do you think they're going to win the Big 12?
I don't know that they can win the Big 12 this year. I think they'll be much more competitive. I think Charlie Strong's a good coach. But Oklahoma's going to be awfully good again, and it's a tough conference right now. But I mean, I wouldn't fall off my chair, but I don't know if they're quite ready to make that jump yet. But I think they're going to be very good. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, a couple months ago, I kind of ragged on Charlie Strong a little bit. But, you know, you got to realize, and I think that I had to realize, that you come into a new program, I mean, everything is not set up to the way that you want it to be set up right away. I mean, you come in there, there's a bunch of players already there that you didn't recruit, and there's a lot of things that have to go on. So, you know, I'm willing to give Charlie Strong, you know, a couple more years to figure it out. Because I thought, you know, I really thought he was a great coach at Louisville. I mean, did a lot of good things to, you know, kind of a smaller tier Division I program. To really bring them up, and did a lot of great things. So I think big things are coming. I think Charlie Strong is a great guy, and hopefully, you know, keep getting better recruiting classes and great things keep happening. So how about let's talk a little MLB. CBS Sports just came out with a ranking of the top 30 pitchers coming into 2016, not based on salary, not based on anything besides you know, who do you want on your team? So, number one spot, who do you think took it this year?
Number one spot, it's still going to be Kershaw, I think.
Yeah, right. I mean, Kershaw, over the last half decade, I mean, he's got three Cy Youngs, runner-up one time. He finished third in a statistical worst season, and I agree. I think Clayton Kershaw has been the most consistent guy over the past 5 or 6 years. Doesn't have the playoff success, but, I mean, he's been so successful. Making a case, I think, as the years go by, to be the best left-handed pitcher of all time if he keeps this up. Rounding out the top five, we have David Price at number two, Jake Arrieta at number three, Zach Greinke at number four, and Max Scherzer at number five. I thought five was way too low for Scherzer. I mean, I know Arrieta has had a great past couple years, and I know the price has been pretty good, but, I mean, has anybody really been better than Max Scherzer over the past 2 or 3 years?
Well, yeah, how about Baumgartner? How about Madison
Baumgartner? He's all the way down at number nine.
Yeah, how about Madison Baumgartner? Let me ask you a question. You got the biggest game of your life going right now in the playoffs. Who are you picking? Who are you going to pitch in that game? Pick anybody you want.
Oh, Madison Baumgartner, absolutely.
I mean, so
wouldn't even think about anybody else.
So, what kind of dopes are picking these guys? I agree, Clayton Kershaw overall is the best pitcher in baseball. Okay, and I agree, Max Scherzer is great. But how can you leave? How can Madison Baumgartner, Jake Arrieta, great year last year, one good year in his career? Okay, how can you say that he is better? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's my problem with this whole thing. And that is a bigger problem. You can't, everybody likes to make these pools and these allegations, but these pools and who's better, who's not better. Look, for my money, I don't know, Madison Baumgartner gave up, I think, one run in 37 innings. I mean, and he's just solid. He goes out every fourth day or every fifth day, just like Kershaw. But, it's always a debate for the ages. But for now, the debate is we got to go to break. This is the Sporting Edge on here on Super Bowl 50 weekend. Make sure you check out the show. You ever miss one, you can go to libertytalk.fm and get it on demand. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back after the break and go over the Super Bowl. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. Okay, Xander. This is the big game, the game we've been waiting for. Now, earlier this year on the Barney Show, I said that I felt that the Broncos were going to win and that Peyton Manning was going to win his last game because this would be his last year in his career. And, of course, we'll see if he's going to win. We'll see if it's going to be his last game. But what are some of the key things you'll be watching in this game? Because, overall, there's a lot of things that make big differences in big games. What are you be looking for?
Right. I mean, I think what brought these two teams here in the first place is their defenses. I mean, I think you can make a case. I think Denver is definitely the best defense in the league. And the interesting thing is you look at, 11 times the number one ranked defense made it to the Super Bowl, and they are 9-2 in those games. And I think that's a little bit of a telltale sign that, defense does win championships. But at the same time, Carolina's defense is absolutely unbelievable as well. I mean, they've got one of the best front sevens in the game. I think they do have the best middle linebacker in the game with Luke Kuechly. They got a lot of guys working for them. They also have the best cornerback in the game, Josh Norman. So they've got a lot of things working for them. I think the key in this game is going to be how well Cam Newton can throw from the pocket. I mean, nobody wants to see Cam Newton get out on the loose because, I mean, he's another running back. He's just as big, if not bigger, than most of the linebackers out there. And that's the last thing you want to see is you get great coverage, but nobody's on Cam Newton. He gets out in the open field. I think the Broncos really want to challenge him to throw in the pocket. I think they're going to try to, play a lot of man coverage on the outside, see if these receivers can actually beat these corners. I don't think they can. And I think, like I've been saying all year, the Panthers are very thin on offense, I think. Besides Cam Newton and Greg Olsen, I mean, receiving-wise, they got a lot of journeymen. And, they got a lot of guys who've been making some plays. But, I mean, this is the biggest game, in everybody's lives. I think the Broncos just end up making more plays on defense. And I think the key is going to be containing Cam Newton. Because, like we said last week, Cam Newton, I think, is comparable to Deshaun Watson or vice versa. He's going to need to kind of do it all this game for them to win. Because I think Peyton, and as crippled and old as he is, I think he puts together a couple scoring drives. And I think the Panthers are going to need at least 24 points to win this game.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. What team is the number one scoring team in the NFL this year?
Number one scoring team? Patriots?
Carolina Panthers. How about that? Number one scoring team in the NFL. I know. It seems impossible. Okay, so I think that obviously you know that I'm a guy of defense and running the football. I also think that this is a huge stage. And don't get me wrong, Cam Newton's a big-time guy. I mean, he's a big-time star and a big-time player, and I don't think the stage will bother him whatsoever. I don't know about everybody else in that team. And one of the concerns I would have from the Carolinas perspective is their receivers, who've had a decent year, but this is the biggest stage now. This is no longer, you know, playing in the neighborhood. This is the big stage. So I would be a little bit concerned there. You have any concerns with that?
You know, a little bit. I mean, because the Panthers, their first two playoff games, I mean, the first one they're up 31-0, and they let Seattle come all the way back, but that game was not a close game until the very end. And the game against Arizona was not a close game after the first 10 minutes. So, I mean, I think this game is going to be a lot closer, and we'll see, you know, if they're going to be able to make some plays and not just rely on Cam Newton to run the ball and do what he does. Because, you know, I agree with you. I think Cam Newton is a big-time player. You know, he's a great guy, does a lot of great things, and I don't think the stage will bother him, but I think he's going to need to play, you know, at least his A-minus game, if not his A game, to beat the Broncos defense.
So now on the Broncos side, great defense. They're both great defenses. I think the Broncos are a better defense. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think the key for me with the Broncos is their pass rush. I mean, Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, you know, Von Miller, I think, is the best pass rusher in the league, maybe besides Khalil Mack. And DeMarcus Ware, you know, if you watch the Cowboys at all for the past 10 years, you saw him making plays every Sunday. You know, he's getting a little older, but he's still got it. I mean, that Patriots game, he had more, I think, hits on Tom Brady than Von Miller did. These cornerbacks are great. I think one of the keys, though, for this Denver defense is going to be, you know, their interior linemen. Can they push the pocket? Can they keep Cam Newton in the pocket? I mean, basically, the game starts at the line of scrimmage. And I think the team that controls the line of scrimmage better is going to win this game. And I think that's got a lot to do with Denver's defensive tackles. You know, I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to push the pocket. And I really think they're going to get some pressure on Cam Newton. But I think the key for them is not necessarily getting the pressure right away. I think they need to keep him inside the pocket because he does the most damage on the run, I think, because he's got such a great arm. He's such a physical specimen that he can really do it from all around the field. That's why I think it's going to be important for Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware to control their pass rushes, be a little more finesse about it, and hopefully keep him in the pocket, knock him down a couple times, and, you know, try to get ahead in this game.
And I agree. Now, I've heard, you know, listening to news and watching reports that Peyton Manning has had his best week of practice of the year, and his deep ball was extremely accurate, and he had some oomph on the ball. You know, he has had 2 weeks off, and what do you think? Can Peyton put together one more game?
I think he absolutely can. I mean, if I'm looking at this, you know, this from an outside perspective, just looking down, you think Peyton Manning is old. He doesn't do as much as he used to do, but, you know, for one game, and possibly most likely the last game of his career, I think he can absolutely put it together. Might he come out and, you know, it be another Super Bowl like 2 years ago against Seattle? That's possible. I don't think it's going to happen this time. I think the Denver's defense is comparable to that Seattle defense of a couple years ago. And I think they're going to play a huge role in this game. And I think Peyton Manning is going to put it together. But I also think as well as he might play, I think they're going to need to run the ball. I mean, that's another key. C.J. Anderson, Ronnie Hillman, they're going to need to, I think, at least rush for 120 yards for the Broncos to have a good shot in this game.
Yeah, and I think they will run. I do like Denver in this game. I like him for a lot of reasons, but it is sometimes just destiny, and I could not think of a better way for Peyton to go off than to win the world championship, become the oldest quarterback in history to ever win it, to actually the previous other guy we talked about last week was his boss, John Elway. Okay. Now I don't think it's a cinch, but I think this is a great spot, in my opinion, for even a money line bet. Because I think Carolina is terrific. And I think Ron Rivera, you know, he was, if you remember, I said he's going to get fired. He was like 1 week from getting fired, and he turned it around about 3 years ago. And now they, you know, Riverboat Ron. So I don't think it's going to be easy. But I think that this time they've really got the defense. And I think this time, in my opinion, Peyton Manning gets it done by some leap of faith. Who knows? Something strange will happen in the game. I'm going to predict that I'll help them win the game. I think that they win the game. And I look for Denver to win 28-27. What do you think?
I like that score. I think Denver's going to win as well, and I also think it's going to be a close game. I think when you got two great defenses, that really keeps you in the game. I mean, I don't really see any team jumping out to a huge lead. The only scenario I really see that is if Peyton Manning is playing terrible, and you know, playing like he did against the Chiefs that one day where he threw four picks and you know, seven passes or whatnot. If it gets out of hand like that, you know, so be it. But I don't think this game is going to be very back and forth, very punch in the mouth. And I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be awesome. I know the Panthers are about a 5.5-point favorite right now, and I agree with you. I think this is a perfect spot to put some money on Denver money line, because I also think they're going to take this game.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, like I said, this has probably been Peyton's most trying mental year. He's had a brutal year in a lot of ways, and he's now maybe healthy, and maybe he musters it up for one more game. And I just think this will be obviously the nightmare that I'm making here, because this is like the perfect fairy tale ending for arguably one of the best quarterbacks of all time. You agree?
Right. Yeah. It'd be a very bad guy ending for Peyton to get stomped in a Super Bowl, you know, after getting stomped against Seattle a couple of years ago. But, you know, no matter who wins this game, I think it'll be pretty tight throughout the entire thing.
I agree with you, and that's our prediction. So we both like Denver, plus the points and the money line. Have a great time. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the commercials, and thanks for being part of the show. You can always catch The Sporting Edge at libertytalk.fm as well as The Bubba Show. We'll see you back here next week. We'll be on to basketball, and we'll start with our fantasy basketball teams and for the weekends. And everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being here. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll see you next year, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.